He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book, full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome. Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show. I am your host, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you live. You already know that. You already know where. From San Leandro, California. How are you all doing? Oh, man. I tell you, it's gonna be a real, real crazy weekend. Today is Friday, January 25th. 2013. I tell you, I'm really pumped up. I'm excited to just be here on a Friday with you. Got DDP in the chat room. I'm sure and I hope that others will join in the chat room. Listen, if you're listening to us in podcast land or on iTunes, as I mentioned before, the year ended just 2 weeks before Christmas. I told you all that Blog Talk Radio is now on iTunes, so if you're an iTunes listener and you happen to pass by the channel and you're like, wow, this is really cool, it's going to be cool, and it's going to get hot. It's going to get hot right here on this show, ladies and gentlemen, because I tell you now, today we're going to be talking about the wall, and what that simply means is the writing is on the wall for the world of sports and pro wrestling. It's crazy because the writing is definitely on the wall for Manti Te'o, and you're going to hear about this in a very productive audio clip. I tell you, it's all almost ready to go. It's almost uploaded. I'm having trouble uploading files over here because it's just the way Blog Talk Radio does things, and I'm still waiting. So let's just get through this. If it takes forever to do it and we didn't and if it doesn't, you know, like if it ends up uploading, if it finishes uploading like towards the end of the show, then we will play it at the end of the show, even though the remainder of the show we know that normally goes to wrestling. Speaking of that, we have lots of crazy wrestling news that you will want to stick around for in just 30 minutes because things are getting out of control. Especially since there are things that they want to happen that they're hoping, just hoping, because they know that very well that they've lost most of the Mexican, you know, the Hispanic of their product. And I'm Mexican. I mean, I don't speak Spanish all that. I don't know anything about Spanish. But now they are trying to tailor-made their Spanish reflexes by finally coming to the conclusion that, oh, Alberto Del Rio needs to be a babyface. So that way somebody can cheer for him since Rey Mysterio is out right now. You're probably like, wait a minute. How is Rey Mysterio? I just saw him on SmackDown 2 weeks ago. Yeah, the entire world did. Trust me, though. I'll use the term that John Bradshaw Layfield used a few weeks ago. He said this is a very, very sticky situation. And it is, involving Rey Mysterio, going into this Sunday's Royal Rumble pay-per-view. I just might go to a friend's house. I might join their party there to watch the pay-per-view live this Sunday. DDP, I don't know what your plans are. If you're going to stream the pay-per-view from the internet, or if you've got somebody's house to go to, that's the best way to do it, actually. If you've got a friend's house to go to, you can watch it live with the rest of the world. And this also applies to you, DDP. If you can watch it that way, that is the best way to do it. Unfortunately, as I mentioned in 2008, well, I don't know what my problem is. My friend had a problem because he had Dish Network. And I told you all that story in 2008. Right as 2008 rolled on, when we started that year, it was crazy because that's when I told you all that we had gotten wind. The pay-per-view had started already because we were already 30 minutes behind. We didn't get to see the pre-show. We didn't get to see, you know, the opening of the show and the backstage opening of the show, you know, because that's what the pre-show is. Well, of course, now they put the pre-show on YouTube. You can still watch the pre-show only on YouTube now. The actual pay-per-view will take place on pay-per-view. But this was back then. This was back in 2008. And so we were like, dude, what the heck? What's up with the product? It's not... Because he told my other friend, he said, just push OK and it'll start playing. He pushed play and nothing, he pushed OK on the remote and nothing happened. We're like, what the hell? What the hell is this? And he called Dish Network, and they promptly told him, oh, no, sir, you have it. It's right here. I'm looking at your account to see what you paid for, what you ordered. You ordered the 8 o'clock show. He's like, I did not order the 5 o'clock show. I know damn well that I ordered the 5 p.m. show. I don't have time to be ordering the pay-per-view at 8 o'clock. That thing won't end until 11 o'clock. What state are you in? And the person on the other line, I think they answered him and told him where they were at because he got all defensive about it. He said, well, that doesn't do any good for me. I'm over here in California. I'm on a different time zone than you, okay? I have to be up at work by 7 a.m. Now, don't tell me what I ordered. I know what I ordered. And they said, well, sorry, sir, that's what you ordered. They said, since you said your friend had clicked okay, you can watch this pay-per-view like this, but you're on a 10-minute delay because you're a late customer that started late. So we decided it wasn't worth it because we only saw the remainder of the pay-per-view, and then of course, you know, 4.5 matches later, 2 hours and 20 seconds later, the main event had started, and then within a matter of 15, 20 minutes, the main event was over, and then, of course, as we all remember, Kurt Angle was celebrating his championship in the ring, of course, when The Undertaker came out and, well, destroyed the ring, and that's how he brought Kurt Angle to his knees, if you remember that. Oh, shit. Damn, I forgot to upload something else, too. Oh, damn. All right, cool. DDP says he's going to stream it off the internet. Gotta be careful, though. Some of these websites, man, they stream and stream. Well, actually, they buff forever and ever. So they kind of screw things up. So just be aware of that, man. Just looking out for you, DDP. And, you know, also, also today, we're going to have the first time ever right here on the Sports Opinion Show, kickoff Super Bowl. That'll be coming up in just about 10 minutes. I can't, you know. Yep, I tell you, this is going to be quite the show. I tell you. But hey, you know, how cool is it that you get to have the best of all the world right here on the Sports Opinion Show? Football, baseball, hockey. Once in a while, the UFC gets run down right here. Then we go right into WWE and Impact Wrestling. Oh, man, and let me tell you about Impact Wrestling last night. Very, very compelling. Compelling evidence to a compelling storyline. That's how you book wrestling. Of course, there will be some suggestive, let's leave it like that, suggestive comments to one Christopher Daniels on what he tried to do last night that was very funny. I just thought, are you actually trying that? Yeah, you're probably like, what? What are you talking about, Matt? Oh, just stick around. You'll see what I'm talking about. I'll explain what Christopher Daniels did. You'll see what I'm talking about later on if you stick with us later in the show. It was hilarious. At least I thought it was. I just, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and do our very first, the first ever Super Bowl segment. Because this is so huge. It's going to be big because, I mean, damn, did you ever think about how this is all going to happen? That these things have gotten in the way of everyone else. Now everyone has stopped dead in their tracks. And of course, just about an hour ago, I tell you, my neighbor down the hall, he asked some of us who were downstairs in our lobby here at my apartment complex, very profound and somewhat stupid question. Oh, I should go to Red Robin on Sunday. Yeah. Or no, I should go to the sports place that somebody told me about. But I'm not sure if they're going to be broadcasting the game on February 3rd. And I was like, dude, that is so stupid. He said, how is that stupid? I said, dude, come on. Who's not going to be broadcasting the game? Right, DDP? Come on now, ladies and gentlemen. Tell me that. I mean, if one of you was right there, especially if my friend from the group, gotta say what's up to my boy, Craig, if you're listening, man, if you were here, you'd probably agree with me that my neighbor lost his damn head. And DDP would be like, yeah, you're retarded. Everybody is going to be playing the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter where you go. You could go to some dumb bar on the corner. You can even go to McDonald's for fuck's sake. Everybody will be broadcasting the game on February 3rd. I need to give my neighbor a stone cold stunner. Wait. That's not even it. That's not even the end of it there. I'm telling you, this is going to be a good show. You guys are going to love it. Because, you know, you're going to see what happened on how Steve Austin himself called into the Sports Talk with the Guys show last Saturday. Okay, well, he didn't really call in. But, hey, people think that I have a good voice, that I sound just like him. So I have the audio clip of that, too, to share with you all. You guys are going to be like, the hell? I mean, they're up every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. You can join them here tomorrow morning back on the same channel. I tell you, you're going to be like, wow. When we do get to that audio clip, it's about 4 minutes long. And hopefully I'll be able to play it at the end of the show. But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, it's now time to get right into this. Because so many things are jumping off. I mean, everybody, I just found out, you know, earlier this morning when I was, you know, trying to find notes and things to add to the show and stuff like that, that more and more coaches are leaning towards the teams that lost because they want to help these teams. I mean, not that I'm bragging. Oh. But hey, the Raiders got a new offensive coach. We are going to be kicking it. We're getting ready for next year. Can't wait. It's going to be awesome. With the coaches that we have now, oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm telling you. gee. It's going to be nuts. It's just going to be one of those. One of those kinds of things that you're not really sure of expecting. So, yeah. So we'll just have to see what that is, too. But, hey, there's a lot of buzz about people who made it big this season in the NFL. You can come up with names like Jamarcus Russell, who was the big comeback of the year because he had sustained an injury, a huge, you know, devastating injury at the beginning of the season. And all the doctors and everybody said, you know what? With the type of injury that he had, I'm sorry, there's just no way he's going to come back. But he was only out for 3 months. And he came back and just basically bulled over everybody else in the NFL. And in week 7 of the NFL, here he is wearing a Raiders jersey. And, you know, the defense thought, well, I'm going to factor Marcus Russell. But they had tricked the defense in week 7 when they were playing the Lions. We all remember that, right, DDP? Well, that is if you saw the game. And the Lions start, you know, two of them, Jason Peters and Mike Roberts, had cut through the line, and they were like, yeah, we're going to tackle the quarterback. We're going to tackle Jamarcus Russell. And everybody goes, and even the announcers had flipped out. They stopped. Why did they stop? They didn't tackle him. They have a chance to tackle the quarterback, and they don't. Because something that happened, turns out Jamarcus Russell was behind the person that was pretending to be the quarterback, and he just runs through the line and takes off. You had Jamarcus Russell, who's actually a quarterback. He wasn't playing quarterback that on that particular play. He pretended to be a running back and just ran for the touchdown. And that's where he got it started to being the big comeback of the year. But Mr. Kaepernick, I tell you, this is going to be huge. I am telling you, this is going to be it, because with us here, and doing the very first Super Bowl segment, man, I can't begin to tell you that the Atlanta Falcons and the 49ers have just surprised the hell out of everybody. But you also have to remember that the Ravens started picking up speed in week 12. That's when they fired their original offensive coach and hired Ryan Falco as the new offensive coach. And ever since he's been coaching the offensive team, they've been unstoppable. And that's what got them there today. That's why they are in the position that they are in for our big look at the playoff picture and what that really means. Because now what you have to see is you have to see things for what they are. But the biggest story right now that's been all over the internet all week long is that with the Ravens, you have the firstborn son, the firstborn Harbaugh. Then on the 49ers side, you have the secondborn son, Jim Harbaugh. Which leads everybody down this one path to say, you know what? It's going to be tough to call the game. I mean, hell, the NFL guys on Sunday during the halftime show, they didn't even want to try and predict who was going to win. Especially Dan Marino. Dan Marino said, there's no way that I can predict and say that who's going to win by how many points, or if San Francisco's going to win by, I won't even say 5 or 10 points. Because I don't know, because, well, you got the Harbaugh brothers. It's brother versus brother. This is going to be the most exciting Super Bowl ever. Because nobody in their wildest dreams ever thought, one day we might see brother versus brother. That's what everybody's original reaction was. Oh, the Ravens? Nah, They can't make it. Their defense is too slow. Their offense is too weak. And then half the time, they don't even protect each other. They just let Ray Lewis get sacked 20 times over. But, ever since they got this new offensive coach, Flacco, he's been leading them to victory with the newer, more strategic, I might say, offensive plays that nobody in the NFL had ever seen before. And Ravens coach said, well, you can thank my new offensive coach for that. He's quite a creative character. He showed me some trick plays, and, well, I decided to give him a chance, and we used them, and here we are. We're on our way to the Super Bowl. And immediately after both games were played on Sunday, both the brothers got asked the same thing after the game. So, what do you have to say to your brother Jim Harbaugh now that you're both going to head into the Super Bowl? The most emotional, kind of a family rivalry? And Jim Harbaugh said, yeah, in some respects, since, you know, he is the older brother and I'm the younger one. No, there will be some tough competition, because that's who we are. We're a competitive family. Just ask my mom. That's what he said. And I said, so what do you have to say to your brother? And Jim Harbaugh said, good luck. Good luck and best wishes in the Super Bowl. And they asked his brother the same thing. What do you have to say to your brother Jim Harbaugh? Nothing but the best, you know, good luck. Basically, it's the same thing all the way around. Basically, this whole family tree between these two brothers in our first ever Super Bowl segment is, it's basically all about sending each other good luck. That's not to say not without emotion, because you will see emotion on the field. But I hope it doesn't get too personal between the players. I mean, come on. It's not like Jim Harbaugh is telling his defense, oh, why don't you purposely, I'll tell you how to do it, just purposely injure one of his players. I want to piss my brother off so bad that he'll hate me. No, it's not like that. They're not going to tell each other's players to go out there and intentionally injure somebody just to glorify their team and to have their team start leading by, let's pretend, 5 points. It's not going to happen. There's no way. It wouldn't dictate that. But the biggest playoff picture is that there's nothing else that can ever be rendered to themselves in what this is. Because they've gotten to, let's just say they've gotten to half the top of the mountain, so to speak. They haven't gotten to the very top of the mountain. They're still trying to climb that mountain. But only one will win. One will win, DDP. That's it. Just one. And this is the playoff picture. This is the picture for the Super Bowl. And that's the only picture that I can give you. Because it is tough to say right now. I mean, I'm going to try in the next few weeks before the Super Bowl hits to bring the best of the best best of the best football analyst on this program, and they'll probably tell you the same thing if I'm going to ask them that question. Who do you think is going to win? Do you believe that the Falcons can actually beat San Francisco. And they will probably say the same thing. It's hard to say. Because these are two of the best coaches right now that are at the top of their game. And that's why they're both in the Super Bowl. Actually, that whole thing about climbing the mountain and that they're not at the top, let me take that back. I take that back right now. Actually, to put it quite simply, they have both brothers have made it to the top of the mountain with their respective teams. But only one DDP can win. It's just a matter of seeing who's going to push the other off that cliff. If you push him off the cliff and drop him down that mountain, and if you survive, then you truly will be the Super Bowl champion. And that means all the boys get a Super Bowl ring. Ray Lewis, eat your heart out. I tell you. This is just something that's there. And not without damage, though. Not without damage. Really just a, show everybody what everybody else is all about. And this is how it goes down. It goes down very hard, very fast paced, and you just have to, wing it. And that's the task at hand for both brothers. Both brothers need to start looking at this. And this will just be their hand in each other's hands, trying to see what they can do. And so, yeah, that's basically what it is. But now here we go. Check this out. Just check this out about Manti Te'o.
Right now, let's get right to Manti Te'o and his big interview with Katie Couric. ABC's Matt Gutman has been tracking the man accused of masterminding the hoax, and he's got the latest now.
In an exclusive interview with ABC's Katie Couric, Manti Te'o now admits he briefly lied to the press and the public after discovering his online girlfriend, Lene Kakua, was fake.
You stuck to the script, mm-hmm. and you knew that something mm-hmm. was amiss, Manti.
Correct.
Why?
Well, if anybody puts yourself in my situation, Katie, put yourself in my situation.
But the star Notre Dame linebacker tells Couric that up until December, he was not lying, that he really was duped and in love with a woman he'd never met, a woman he thought died of cancer. Until, he says, he got a call from the grave.
This girl who I committed myself to died on September 12th. Now I get a phone call on December 6th saying that she's alive, and then I'm going to be put on national TV 2 days later, and they ask me about the same question. Now, what would you do?
This is the woman to whom Te'o believed he was committed. Her name is not Lene Kakua. It's Diane O'Meara, a 23-year-old marketing exec who says her pictures were stolen and used to create an online personality she never even knew existed.
I've never met Manti Te'o in my entire life. I've never spoken with him. I've never exchanged words.
This morning, O'Meara and Te'o say they were both unsuspecting victims of this man, Ronaya Tuisasopo, a 22-year-old California man who's posted dozens of videos online singing Christian songs. Tuisasopo, seen here in a photograph obtained by TMZ, has not admitted involvement publicly. His former football coach, John Fleming, describes him as gregarious.
Somebody he'd want as a son. somebody I want my kid to grow up like, you know, you're responsible, respectful, you know, disciplined.
But this morning, despite the media frenzy surrounding him,
hey guys, can we just talk to you for one sec?
Luisa Sofo isn't talking. For Good Morning America, Matt Gutman, ABC News, Palmdale, California.
So now this story just got even weirder. This is even more widespread than it was when the story originally broke 2 weeks ago. Damn it, DDP, what is wrong with these people? I mean, the reason why I uploaded that audio clip is because I found out on Wednesday night when I was at my dad's, having dinner, we were all doing a family thing, like we always do every Wednesday. That's what we do on Wednesdays. And my sister goes, "Boy, what a silly boy." That's her favorite word, is silly. She likes to use the word silly. And she might be right. She is right. Because I saw part of, they showed part of the interview of what was going to take place if you were to watch it the following night with Katie Kirk. And I watched that interview the following night, 24 hours later. And, I mean, you can watch it yourself. It's on YouTube now. But his dad goes and comes onto Katie Kirk's set. He only came on there to say a few words, and these were his words. "My son is innocent, Katie. He had nothing to do with this." Are you positive he had nothing to do with this? And what about this Marty girl? Who you heard. You heard her say it in the audio clip, ladies and gentlemen. "I've never met Manti Te'o. I've never slept with him. I've never exchanged phone numbers with him. We don't even live in the same state." Actually, you heard the interviewer, the news guy reporting, say that they do. They're only 25 miles from each other. DDP, it's like this. Like tonight, I'm going to a wrestling show in Newark, California. We're going to have fun tonight. For all my friends in the Bay Area, get your ass to Newark, California tonight. I'll explain more about what that's going to be about later on, because I know they're all listening. But it's like this. Newark, California, DDP, is exactly 25 miles from me, which means it's only 3 cities away. Sure, 3 cities away sucks when you're stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic, which is what I'll be driving in tonight, or maybe not. But still, that means it only takes 15, 16 minutes to get from here to Fremont, California, to Newark, California, 3 cities away, DDP. Doesn't take that long to get 25 miles apart. So I don't believe her at all when she said, "I've never met him, I've never slept with him." Why did she put that in there? She never slept with him. Wow. This is going to be a very, very developing story. And I don't know what else is to come of this. But because Katie Kirk had told him that if you come on my show and if you be honest, totally honest with me and the people watching my show, then I will give you the benefit of the doubt on the air. And she did. And that's how she got him to open up. That's how she got Manti Te'o to present the whole damn truth. I mean, when he said that he was kind of reserved about playing the role up the heel, he's in some ways, DDP, he's a damn liar too. That's how Katie Kirk got him. She didn't lie to him or trick him or anything, but, you know, she got him to come out and say it. And that's why she was like, "Well, why? Why? Tell us why." Well, put yourself in my shoes, Katie. Damn it, just put yourself in my shoes. What would you do? I certainly wouldn't go tell the world about some girl I supposedly now never met. Where else is this story going to go? I don't know. But I told you that I would do some investigating and find out more information, and I have. I've given you all I can give you, ladies and gentlemen. Man, this is the world of sports, and this is that over the last three decades, things have gotten crazier and crazier and crazier. And now this 2013 just kicked off. This is going to be the year of dominance for sports. I'm telling you right now, DDP. Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. This is where it all starts. I can't wait till August when we do our anniversary show. Oh, my God. This is going to be awesome. We're going to take a quick commercial break because I haven't had shit to drink yet.
Fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, Mick Dirty Fist. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.blogtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
You always said Hi, sports fans. As you all know, there's lots of stuff happening here on NDB Media. And here on our sports channel, Sports Talk with the Guys, we've just debuted a brand new program, The Five Tool Show. Carell Cooper and Tanya Mercado keep it real from the East Coast, and that's on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, Matt Alvarez and the Sports Opinion Show is on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Morning Extravaganza is on at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, part of the 5-hour block of sports on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into that for additional details. And don't forget to catch the Big Dog every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Head on over to ndbmedia.com, join the community, join the conversation. See you on the other side.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
Yes, we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. I know you're all having a good time. DDP, I know you are. I know my friends at the group. No, I wish I could give more insight on the group. I got to give Craig a call. Craig, you got to give me a call. Something like that. I'll try and do it later tonight. And I should create a website for them. Yeah. You got to get their name out there. I'm getting it out there for them right now, live on the air. Got to welcome guest 3222 and guest 3223. Welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for this. It's the craziest news you've ever heard in your life. As we go back into the show now, we just finished the whole Manti Te'o segment that he had with Katie Kirk. Crazy, just crazy, right, DDP? See, that's crazy. This is even more crazier. For those of you that remember the 1,000th episode of Raw, which WWE themselves screwed up on. Actually, when they said episode 1,000, they meant to say episode 99. I don't know how they miscounted the calendar dates on their calendar, DDP, guest 3222. But check this out. WWE.com has released a video of the November 22nd, 1993 episode of Raw, which they claimed was never part of the 1,000th episode produced so far. However, there are inclusions that they have. I mean, it's already set to release. You can't do anything about this, you dumbass Vince McMahon. More than likely, DDP, that when they release the 1,000th episode of Raw on DVD, which they're planning to do later this summer, and they've already transparent the videos and everything else, and there were two shows that were actually produced as episode number 41. You can go to their dumbass website and watch the video of the what took place that they're talking about on November 22nd, 1993. I can't wait until that DVD comes out. Then everybody will be like, oh, so they actually screwed up. They screwed up episode 41, and they screwed up episode 1,000 when it was actually supposed to be episode 99. That's what they told Michael Cole to say, though. This is the 1,000th episode. We've been on here for 1,000 episodes, King. Yeah, right. Speaking of Jerry the King Lawler and his personal friend Jim Ross, Jim Ross is currently battling the flu and will not be able to call the Royal Rumble as scheduled for this Sunday night. Ross updated his condition on Twitter earlier today, and I was actually on there. He said the flu is a bear. Tripped to the hospital last night for chest x-ray. Back to the doctor's this afternoon for results and to eliminate aluminum as a possibility. So he might have some more diabolical things to deal with as far as his chest x-rays are concerned. Jim Ross, all the best to you, pal. Get out of that hospital. Hospitals suck. Billy Graham was reportedly back in the hospital also yesterday after being released on Tuesday. Graham said that he had been having various health issues, including the same conditions as Jim Ross. But the third condition is actually different. The third condition that he had to go to the hospital for was congestive heart failure. And my best wishes on his recovery as well. Congestive heart failure. That means his heart actually stopped when he was still breathing, which is very scary. I've had family members deal with that. Terrible to think about. And here's something else to think about. When Alberto Del Rio won the world title on SmackDown 2 weeks ago, the word in the locker room and among the TV writers was that this was done because the company needs a new Hispanic hero to replace Rey Mysterio. Now, as I said at the top of the show, everybody, all of you are wondering, what are you talking about? Why would the writers and Vince McMahon need to replace Rey Mysterio? He was just on SmackDown 2 weeks ago. Yeah, he was. But now he's on a vindictive injury, is what they are calling it. Which means it's a sustainable injury to his arm, to his leg, and to his pelvis area, to his lower kidneys. And, well, he could miss everything, including WrestleMania. But you probably noticed how quickly that they turned Del Rio face instead of being a heel. And this is what I've been preaching for the last 3 weeks. They don't know what the hell they're doing. The writers don't even have a set plan. And the pay-per-view for the Royal Rumble is this Sunday night. Ladies and gentlemen, guest 3241, DDP, thank you all for being in the chat room. They need something academically, and they need it now. Because as I told you all last week, they don't know. A private WWE source had told several wrestling websites, you can't say who I am, you can't put my name on print, on the internet, because then I'll get in trouble and I'll get fired. Vince will fire me. So he spoke under anonymity, and he didn't want his name revealed. He said, I can tell you right now, everything, including the pay-per-view itself, is still in the works. So does that mean the Shield is going to go ahead and interfere on CM Punk's behalf this Sunday? Well, it's a possibility, but then it's not 100% possibility, but then it's 100% possibility that they still might do it. Well, they played the whole Rey Mysterio part into it 2 weeks ago. Some feel that the babyface turn and the title victory came as a reaction in order for them, they believe, some people are now believing that the reason Vince McMahon did it was because Dana White had Cain Velasquez win the UFC heavyweight title. The Velasquez versus Dos Santinos pay-per-view reportedly did a big buyout rate, with Velasquez being considered as a proven draw. Many feel that Del Rio winning the title and turning face, it's no coincidence. I mean, this is crazy. This goes beyond wrestling. This goes even beyond storyline academics. And it's also about having the writing on the wall. That's what, like I said earlier, that's what we're talking about today. You think Manti Te'o's writing on the wall is going to lead to a successful future? No, you can definitely see the writing on the wall with his future. They're probably not going to want him on the football team next season. He probably tarnished his chances of even getting into the NFL for good. And then he publicly declares, well, I never really had a girlfriend. I never even met her. It's the same thing with Vince McMahon. I'm the greatest. I have the greatest mind in wrestling. But, well, this year, I kind of know what I'm doing, and I kind of don't. No, your writing on the wall is simple. You don't know what you're doing. It's time for somebody else to take over. We need a new owner. WWE needs a new leader. DDP, you're going to take Vince McMahon's job. Yeah, I've been to the hospital many times as a kid and unfortunately a few times as an adult now. Terrible. I hate that feeling. Very sad. Very sad. But hey, let's quickly get into this here. Let's go down with Monday Night Raw. And you're probably wondering why when Raw started, and you're probably like, well, I noticed that Raw was on a 3-second late start. What the hell? DDP, you're going to be like, what the fuck? What the hell is wrong with them? You're going to laugh or something. I don't know what the heck you're going to do, DDP. But you want to know why they had a 3-second delay? Why they had a 3-second late start? Check this out. Everybody had decided between two different videos that both had to do with Martin Luther King videos, both of which are very good videos and very inspirational videos. But here's where the problem lies. Here's where the whole reason, ladies and gentlemen, why they were on a 3-second delay and a very late start. Brian Gerwitz, SmackDown head writer, was arguing with the now demoted, he's no longer Raw's head writer, but he's still a writer, arguing with Michael Hayes about which video that they're going to put on Raw. This video is better than that one, damn it. This one will motivate the people. Well, this one will make the people think. This one is a thinking Martin Luther King video, damn it. So you're on a 3-second delay because you have... See, this is the problem. This is like I said last week. Remember last week when I said that Vince McMahon had told, you know, Jerry Lawler and you know, John Bradshaw Layfield, and, you know, he's like, oh, good show. Remember what I said last week? Vince McMahon had his headset on his shoulders, but he never had his headset in his ears. He wasn't even listening to how they were broadcasting and all that. And it's the same principle here. He wasn't even backstage when this whole argument happened between the two writers, between Michael Hayes and Brian Gerwitz. He was in his damn office. Guess what he was doing? Drinking coffee again, damn it, DDP. That's why the show, I know I got a few text messages saying, I'm watching TV right now and it hadn't started. What the hell? What's taking them so long? That's why they had a 3-second delay start. Finally, the entrance to Raw's theme song. They only did a 10-second intro to that. They cut it off real quickly, if you, we all remember, right, DDP? Guest 3270, thank you for joining us. That's why. That's why they were 3 seconds late on television. Matt Broderick is here. All right, Matt is here. Now Friday just got better. Friday is awesome. Matt, you're probably listening with your very cool girlfriend, Stephanie. Matt, we were just talking about why Raw was 3 seconds late this past Monday on television. And I was just telling everybody, Matt, because Michael Hayes was arguing with Brian Gerwitz over what the best Martin Luther King video was, which was pathetic. And I told everybody, Matt, that Vince McMahon wasn't even aware that there was an argument until he got told, because he was in his office drinking some fucking coffee. And then finally, somebody had to go tell him, you better come out here, we're 3 seconds late. Well, why aren't you starting the show? I just started the show, whatever. Like, no, Vince, Brian is arguing with Michael Hayes about which video that they want to put on, which is the better Martin Luther King video. He was like, what? Oh, damn it. Well, Vince, that goes to show you need to be there. Otherwise, things get out of control and your show never starts because you have two idiots like Michael Hayes and Brian Gerwitz arguing about which Martin Luther King video is better. I'm telling you, GDP and Matt Broderick are going to take Vince McMahon's job. That's what's going to happen. Because of the shit that's going on right now. Anyway, the video had opened up with a very nice Martin Luther King video. They brought back the Beat the Clock Challenge. Randy Orton took on Antonio Cesaro. This was kind of a wrestler-wrestler type match. If you like the actual basic wrestling mixed with the amateur basic wrestling holds and maneuvers that you like to see in UFC, then you would have loved this Randy Orton versus Antonio Cesaro Beat the Clock Challenge match on Raw. And Cesaro, he reversed another chin lock hold before throwing Orton into the ring post. Then he went to the ring floor and he brought Orton back in. The referee does the count to try and bring them both back in. But as soon as Cesaro gets back in the ring, that's when Orton caught him with the RKO for the win at 11 minutes and 36 seconds. So Randy Orton is your winner. The Big Show versus Zack Ryder. Big Show is your winner because, well, there's really nothing to tell because this is basically a squash match. What's up with these 3 second matches? Kind of like what they were doing with the Divas. Good grief. What's the use of having them on TV if you're only going to have them out there for not even a minute? Terrible. Heath Slater versus Ryback. Ryback is the winner. And unlike some people, Matt, who thought that the Shield is going to get involved again. No, they didn't do anything to Ryback this time. And yes, of course. I know that they've been hearing me. They've been paying attention to what I'm saying because they didn't do that bad this week. It's about time, Michael Cole. They're paying attention to what I'm saying. Remember last week I said that you guys need to stop promoting shit all night long. It gets on people's nerves. They didn't do too bad. Michael Cole only promoted the fact that they were going to have Raw in Las Vegas next Monday twice. That's not bad at all. It's about time. That's very good. That's going to be a good Raw, I think. What do you think, Matt? DDP? Raw live from Las Vegas with the Raw Roulette. A second Beat the Clock Challenge match with Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz. Dolph Ziggler is the winner. And then, of course, we were going to get ready to have a Divas match. It would be Alicia Fox versus Caitlyn. But they wanted to show footage, for some reason, before the match, of the former Knockout, former Divas champion. Well, you know who that was. Yeah, Corey can. Yeah, Corey can take over. There you go. Corey can help you guys. Yep, yep. Matt, you said it. Matt said in the chat room, he said, Raw in Sin City after the Rumble? Oh, hell yeah. But anyways, like I said, they decided to show footage of the former Divas champion, Eve Torres, who we all know in real life, she did quit. You heard me play the audio clip last week, if you heard last week's show, Matt. Not only did she quit in storyline terms, but she also quit in real life. And I did see Impact Wrestling last night. Oh, shit. Oh, man. You know what I just thought of, guys? Hold on, hold on. If you saw Impact Wrestling last night and you heard what Taz said, the higher power is going to bring us a new kind of member. And I won't say who it is, but I'll just tell you that that person will either be with us in the UK or maybe not. He's like, even though my name is Taz, and he blew a kiss last night to the TV screen, are they trying to say that Eve Torres is going to probably join them, join Impact Wrestling, and she will become a member of Aces and Eights? I don't know. That's very good. That's very good. Now we just have to watch Impact next week for real, make sure we know what the hell's going on. But anyway, Caitlin is your winner. And Paul Heyman and CM Punk, they were, you know, doing their thing and walking around. And Punk, of course, said he didn't feel like giving a pipe bomb. Paul Heyman said, I have a Heyman smoke bomb. Punk's like, what? He's like, never mind, I'll explain it later. And he goes out, and Paul Heyman did a great... That's the thing about Paul Heyman, whether he's playing a heel or a face, he's always truthful with the fans. And that's contributed to his original ECW days when he would tell everybody the truth about anything that got out in ECW that wasn't true. And of course, The Rock came out and told him, get the hell out of the ring. Otherwise, you're going to get the Rock beatdown of your life. And Rock's trying to cut a promo, and he's trying to, then he turned his attention to CM Punk, who was in the skybox. And I was very proud of this because Raw was in my hometown, you guys. My hometown in San Jose, California. I wish I could have been with my San Jose peeps. But then after that, Rock's promo gets interrupted. The lights go out. And Rock never got to, well, he did finish his promo. But you could tell that there was more that needed to be said. And I guess they're going to wait for Rock to do the rest of that promo, probably Sunday at the pay-per-view. But some are now debating, you guys, whether or not he'll actually be able to compete. Because, well, you can blame Dean Ambrose for this. When the lights went out and the lights came back on and the Shield was in the ring and they're over there beating down The Rock and they start kicking him and stomping him, stomping their feet on him and kicking him in the face and crushing his leg, trying to do what they can do. And right before Dean had, before they sent him off to Dean to be powerbombed, the other member of the Shield, well, when he punched The Rock, he was supposed to punch him below the stomach. No, you saw him, he hit him twice in the chest. And that's why, even after the powerbomb, They did powerbomb him just after the powerbomb. You saw Rock laying there, and he was trying to tell the camera, get this camera off me, because they fucked him up bad. You all saw the blood and all the saliva come out of the Rock's mouth. Oh, man. It was terrible. That was not supposed to happen. Talk about shit that's not supposed to happen. Good God. You're right, Matt. Matt said in the chat, he said, yeah, Rock got beat. He got beat good. Yeah, he did. So now Vince and the writers and the medical personnel, they were like, Kevin, you really hit him. You weren't supposed to really hit him. Well, I got excited. And you know what Vince McMahon told him? Ah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. What are you, giving favors now to a guy like Dean Ambrose just because he's taller than the Big Show? What, are you scared of him? I've seen and heard about Vince McMahon disciplining people before when shit like this happens. He's gotten real upset. You weren't supposed to really hit him, damn it. Damn it. You are fired. Oh, but now because it's Dean Ambrose, a guy who's taller than The Undertaker and taller than The Big Show in the same weight class. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You just told him don't worry about it. Huh. But so some are now saying that is Rock going to be healthy enough to be able to be at the pay-per-view? I'll tell you right now, he is. Don't worry about it. He'll be there. He'll be there, and he'll be able to compete. Because I'm like, some of these idiots, ladies and gentlemen, I will not do no apologies. I will not do no apologies for what I'm about to say. Because some people out there that are listening are really fucking stupid. Oh, well, Raw was on TV, and it's happening as we speak. No, it's not. How many times do I have to say? Even though Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler like to say, we're live. Impact Wrestling on Thursday night does the same thing. Neither one of these shows are live. They're taped. They were taped way in advance. You know how I know that? Because the last time that all of my buddies went to go see Raw in Oakland, California, and then 2 years ago when I went to the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, they started at 5, the pay-per-view started right at 5 p.m., and everybody else sees it an hour or so later. Right, Matt? I mean, I don't know how you're going to watch the pay-per-view, Matt. DDP told me earlier he's going to watch it on the internet. I might make a long drive to Lafayette, California to go hang out with some APW wrestling people there to watch the pay-per-view there at somebody's house. So it's not live. So don't worry, he'll be there. Finally, they have the final Beat the Clock Challenge, Sheamus versus Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett, well, Sheamus is going to get some revenge. Because Wade Barrett, he's kind of a tweener right now. The writers are having him do things in the ring as a heel, yet when he cuts promos, he's cutting babyface promos. You know, being the part of the Barrett barrage, I'm just here to make things right. So now you have to really, really, really watch Wade Barrett. Because he's basically a tweener. He's doing good guy things, wrestling style in the ring, yet when he cuts promos, he's talking like a heel. And something's very fishy here. I don't know what to say. But anyways, we had Alberto Del Rio take on Tensai. The winner is Alberto Del Rio. And of course, after the match, Del Rio, who was praised by the San Jose, California crowd, my hometown, because they love the Mexican aristocrats. Now that he quickly jumped, they made him jump too fast to be a babyface. They need to go back to simple storylines to draw him up to being a babyface. There you go, DDP. Maybe you and Matt Broderick can, you know, I don't know, whatever site you guys go on, certain websites on Sunday will definitely have a chat room. Maybe you can both go to the same website and chat in the chat room there. Matt Broderick said in the chat room he loves the website that he goes to, whatever website that is. But anyways, see, and they're taking this week by week because now that we know that Bob Backlund is going to be in the Hall of Fame this year, which means we'll probably see a special Bob Backlund appearance at WrestleMania doing the crossface chicken wing with somebody. I don't know. But after Del Rio won his match with Tentai, everybody, eight of the top wrestlers that they have, that are the top guys right now, all came out and said that they were all going to win the Royal Rumble. So it's basically, you know, who's got more finesse than the next guy? Who's going to say it better than the next guy? And you know who I thought said it better? Even though he's kind of between the two, I thought The Miz did a great, great job of selling the pay-per-view. I don't like his style. Even though he's a face, I'm still not warmed up to him yet. Maybe I will. Maybe after Sunday, maybe I'll have a different perspective. So which means maybe next week on the show, I'll come back and I'll probably have to take back everything I said about The Miz, that he sucks, that he's terrible. No, I think he did a very, very good job of selling the pay-per-view. Besides, you need guys like The Miz to buy into what you're trying to do to buy your pay-per-view product. But, you know, Miz was the last, he was the seventh and final guy to come out. And then everybody, the locker room emptied and, well, you basically got a preview of what Sunday was going to be like. And last but not least, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to my hometown of San Jose. I wish I could have been there with you guys in person. That would have been awesome. To boo John Cena out the fucking building. Man, when he came out, the boos went so loud through the building. That's why he had to wait. He was trying to do a promo, and they weren't letting him. They actually got him to shut up. You work 12 to 6 on Sunday, Matt. Matt has a job. He has to work. Six p.m., he said he's coming home. Macho Man should be inducted. Yes, he should be. Jake Snake Roberts and Scott Hall. I think Scott Hall might be a long shot there, pal. Yeah. I don't know. I tell you, though, it's very profoundly fitting that all this happened in one night on Monday Night Raw. The Grand Wizard. Yep. I tell you. Well, Looks like we're going to have some extra time, ladies and gentlemen. This is very good. Very good timing. See, I always have good timing. I tell you. It's just, you know. One of them things. Just one. I never got. Well, no, I take that back. I can't lie. I did play Here Comes the Pain for a little bit last year. A little bit. It was, you know, kind of an easy game to beat. I beat it pretty well. Yeah, the very first SmackDown versus Raw. Gotta love SmackDown. Very taking on Raw. They need to bring that back, or at least create a different style of the game. You know what I mean? WWE 14. Because a lot of people, they really enjoyed when they had the SmackDown versus Raw titles. Because then you got to be the general manager. Of course, you did have to listen to Vince, but hey, you still got to be at least in charge of your own brand and run it as you see fit. They need to bring the general manager system back somehow. Somehow. That would be awesome. Really awesome, Matt. I tell you. But hey, you know, are they really truly ready for this pay-per-view on Sunday? Can they honestly say that they know what they're doing, that they have the plan to get the biggest buy rates they've ever had in years? In years! Because they know ever since 2010 that all their buy rates for all of their pay-per-views have plummeted, have sucked. And also, just for fun, before we go to commercial break, stick around because towards the end of the show, I've got something funny that you guys are going to want to hear. You'll want to hear it, but I don't know if you'll like it. But let's just say that I joined the guys that own this channel right here on this channel last Saturday. And I did my famous impersonation of my favorite wrestler. We've got that audio clip coming up right before the show ends. So don't go anywhere. Stay right there. Stay strapped in your seatbelt. Because you're not going to want to miss this audio clip coming up. Also, we're going to do quickly the WWE Royal Rumble rundown of the entire pay-per-view. If it's listed, if they even got the full card up. Sometimes they haven't been doing it lately. They've been screwing themselves in the ass, literally. Then we're going to run down TNA's card. And Taz's big explanation.
Fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, McDirty says, That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.blogtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Hi, sports fans. As you all know, there's lots of stuff happening here on NDB Media, and here on our sports channel, Sports Talk with the Guys, we've just debuted a brand new program, The Five Tool Show. Carell Cooper and Tanya Mercado keep it real from the East Coast, and that's on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, Matt Alvarez and the Sports Opinion Show is on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Morning Extravaganza is on at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, part of the 5-hour block of sports on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into that for additional details. And don't forget to catch the Big Dog every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Head on over to ndbmedia.com, join the community, join the conversation. See you on the other side.
Deal,
oh,
man.
Come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby.
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hey! Oh, man!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
Ah, that Betty White commercial, man, I tell you. That's part of our kickoff to our first ever. Today we had it. We had it right when the show started, Matt, an hour ago. We kicked off the first ever Super Bowl segment, did we not, DDP? As a part of the new Super Bowl segment, come back next week because you're going to hear more stuff like that. Some great Super Bowl commercials from the past and present and, yes, the future. But don't worry, I promise you, I guarantee you, my Super Bowl commercial picks will not suck, unlike last year's. Remember last year for the Super Bowl when they threw, that was a waste of half of the halftime show, you know? I'd rather hear JB and the guys talking about, you know, what happened previously in the game. And then they didn't even have a good singer. I don't even remember who sang at the halftime show last year. Was that Lenny Kravitz last year? I think that was Nothing against Lenny Kravitz though. But damn, they got to get some better people than that. Yeah, Madonna, that's who it was. Yeah, someone boring like that. See what I mean? Nobody even remembers. Yeah, it's going to be good. We talked about it earlier. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard me address this earlier. A game with no Patriots. A Super Bowl with no Patriots. And certainly no Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers. This is going to be the phenomenal year. Welcome, guest 3446. Beyonce's doing the halftime show? Beyonce? You gotta be kidding me. Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, she screwed up for her own song. How do you forget the lyrics to your own song? The hell. Oh, hold on. Alright, good. I was about to say, that's why I was like, hold on. Who is Matt picking for the Super Bowl? Alright, Matt, good. We're on the same page. I'm sure DDP is also going with the Ravens as well. Are you not, DDP? Yes, Ray Lewis more than likely is trying to get a Super Bowl ring before he retires. We will see what happens, what takes place. But first, what took place on Impact Wrestling last night? And they started the show. They did the whole looking back to last week and how Taz ruined the wedding. They knew that they were going to do something with the wedding. But, you know, it wasn't as bad as what WWE does with weddings and how they interrupt weddings. This one's better. This one completely caught everybody off guard. I mean, because Taz, he's standing there wearing a tuxedo, and you just think, well, he just, you know, him and Tommy Dreamer and everybody else, they have to dress nice. It's a wedding. But when he stopped the wedding, I thought, oh, this is going to be good. I don't know how good, but it's going to be good. But when he made the statement, when he made the line, when he made all the storylines get blurred between what's real and what's fake, but everybody knows by now what wrestling is, that it's just a show. But still, it brought me back to yesteryears. When Taz would just, he would not care when he was in ECW of who he fucked with or who he made fun of and who he interrupted. And he proved that last week. He got me when he said, is it just me? Or is it really seriously hot in here? I'm sorry, I can't do this. I can't watch this go down. So I'm going to take off my jacket. Taking off the jacket. The crowd behind him started booing. I was like, what the hell are they booing at? Because he pointed to the shirt. I was like, will you turn the hell around? I want to see what your damn shirt says. And he turned around so the TV camera could see it. He like, zoom in on that camera, boys. That's where it's at right now, baby. Yeah. Taz is in the house. I was like, oh, Ace is an ace. I should have known. But nobody saw that coming. So, of course, he wasn't at the announce table last night. And anyways. Then he finally shows up, you know, after the opening because Jesse and Tara were backstage giving each other pep talks, as she likes to call it, for her Knockout title championship against Velvet Sky. And she's like, that's not going to motivate me. Why do you have a picture of her in your hand? Ugh. I was like, oh my God. But anyway, this was the first match of the night. Tara versus Velvet Sky. Tara is the winner because she used the roll-up. And Jesse even helped by holding Velvet Sky's leg right in there when her foot was clearly in the rope. But you know how they always say, well, Mike Tenney's like, well, you can't blame the referee, Taryn Terrell. Her vision was blocked. Yeah, right. And, of course, Open Fight Night will return next week, they say. And for the first time ever, Impact Wrestling, for all my friends in the UK, will, I'm sure you still live in the UK, you still got that great accent. Hopefully you got your ticket. You're going to go check this out. Joseph Park came out to the ring and he made his own statements about what it means to make your wrestling debut. And he indeed will make his wrestling debut next week live from the United Kingdom. I'm sure, I know it's not going to be great because, hey, as the boys call it, he's still very green because he even had his real first match. Next week will be his first match. So, well, we know one thing, that Joseph Park, we know this Matt Broderick, that Joseph Park is not going to win his very first match unless Impact Wrestling TV writers do something completely comprehensive, more comprehensive than what Vince McMahon likes to do. They need that. Because for the longest time, everybody has been telling Impact Wrestling and their writers, give it the program or change your program. Stop being like Vince McMahon for once in your life. Be original. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying. You got to give them credit for trying. The X Division champion, Rob Van Dam, took on Christian York. Well, and Christian York, they teamed up against Kenny King and Zema Ion. And, you know, they remember beforehand they were backstage. And King had told Zema Ion, don't worry, I got this. I got this. I'm the man. Nobody can stop me. You know what I mean? Matching Taiwan when I was in UFC. That's what I'm going to do tonight. Zema's like, all right, cool. Yeah, you think I'll just relax. I'll stay on the apron, whatever. Of course, you know, they both have big egos to fill their evil souls, so to speak. And so anyways, they're going through the match, and Kenny King had done his own double drop kick and the hangover maneuver that he likes to call it, that's his finisher, right into Christian York, and then Dima Ion comes in there and gets the win. And of course, it's usually Kenny King still in the spotlight whenever he has teamed with Dima Ion or when he's in single competition, but nope. Now that leads to them arguing. Bobby Roode versus Hernandez. Bobby Roode is the winner, thanks to Christopher Daniels. And remember what I said before, at the top of the show? Why did they have Christopher Daniels doing this? Now you're probably saying, what did he do? I know everybody keeps asking. Matt, I don't think you should be betting your dad. Even though it's just $10. $10 doesn't kill anybody. That's all right. But I know everybody was asking at the top of the show, just what are you talking about? What did Christopher Daniels do that was so uncharacteristic? Well, before the match, he was like, yo, it's really all me. All me, baby, yeah. I'm going to win tonight. It's all about taking out Jeff Hardy and doing it with the roll. That's how I roll. Yeah, I'm Christopher Daniels, yo. I was like, oh, no, he did not. Hell no, he did not. What are you trying to do? Make Christopher Daniels the next Eminem? He's backstage. Trying to rap? What is this? Come on now. Don't start doing that WWE bap rattle, battle rap shit that they did. The only reason they did that was because everybody was so keen and motivated by Eminem's movie 8 Mile when that came out. Don't get me wrong, it's a good movie. It's a good movie. But that has no place, absolutely no place at all in wrestling. Even though wrestling is a show, if you can't sing, you can't sing. Forget it. This proves that Christopher Daniels can't even sing or rap. Just don't ever do that again. Anyway, the world title match, Jeff Hardy versus Christopher Daniels. The winner is Jeff Hardy with a twist of fate, with an excellent, excellent pinfall. Great, great match. Great match. Kurt Angle, of course, challenged Ken Anderson to a street fight on Open Fight Night next week. And, of course, you saw Devon Dudley when they were at the clubhouse. He's like, I know you got a lot on your mind. Don't worry about it. Just sit back and relax. He's like, oh, you can sit on my lap, baby. He's like, I know I'm relaxed. Oh, boy. And Devon starts kissing this girl, and of course, Ken Anderson just there distraught. Can't figure out what to do. There was no Hulk Hogan last night, in case you missed it. Hulk Hogan was not there last night. The inception of what they are trying to do leading up to Hulk Hogan not being there. Matt, what's that? Matt said he has a song for Christopher Daniels. I'd love to hear it. I don't know. Yeah, right. Oh, boy. But, yeah, you know, just one thing after another. Also, this just in, this just hit the wrestling website right now, top news, that there is a Royal Rumble mixed surprise for this Sunday. Really? A mixed surprise for both Raw and SmackDown to take place this Sunday at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. Huh. Well, it seems that Vince McMahon is once again trying to be secretive as possible. I'm not even certain what that's about. Wow. Now it sparks even more interest, ladies and gentlemen, to watch the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. Okay, thanks, Matt. Matt put a link in the chat room. I'll have to watch that when we go off the air. We have a caller on the line. 484, you're on the air.
Matt Alvarez, what is going on?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
Good.
Do you know who this is?
Eric Williams.
Of course.
What's going on, man?
No, I figured I'd call in, you know, got the number through my boy, DDP, Mick, you know, with my boy over there. And, yeah, I just wanted to call in and see how everything was, you know. Through the innovation of internet, good internet now, I have Skype, so me and you can Skype it up a little bit.
Nice.
You got a video camera, a webcam, or no?
I do, but, you know.
Okay, I got a webcam as well. Maybe we could bullshit on Skype after the show goes off the air, barring any stuff that you have to do.
Yep.
Do you have anything to do today or what? No?
Yeah, I'm going to go to a wrestling show later on.
What show are you going to be going to?
I'm going to Newark, California to go see Big Time Wrestling. They're going to mix some of our wrestlers, well, some of the wrestlers that they have there, they're mixing them with Lucha Libre wrestlers, and then the Lucha Libres are also going to do their own matches. So it should be a fun night.
Okay. Who's going to all be there? Any names, any big names going to be on the show?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, no.
Well, I'll check in a minute. Well,
John Morrison's going to be in California tonight for Dragon Gate. So.
Yeah, he is.
That should be good. I'll be headed out there soon. California.
Really?
Yeah. Northern California.
All right. Well,
I don't know where I'm going to be going yet. I haven't been told yet. But, yeah, be in Northern California for a wrestling show that I'll be on. I just have to wait and see what happens.
Let's see. The only card that they have for this Sunday pay-per-view, Matt, the U.S. champion Antonio Cesaro will put his title on the line against The Miz. That's for the pre-show. Then the actual pay-per-view is the tag team champions, Team Hell No versus Team Road Scholars. The world heavyweight champion Alberto Del Rio will take on The Big Show in a last man standing match. And CM Punk will take on The Rock.
So there's four matches right there.
Yeah, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Should be good. I'm excited. I'm going with my new boy. I'm going with John Cena to win the Rumble.
No, we don't have no big name from television at our show tonight.
No?
Nope.
You know what? That might be where I'm working. I might be working Newark, California. I think that's the fun I'm working for. I might be working at Big Time Wrestling Show coming up in March.
All right, cool. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, you'd have to go.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
Yeah. I'd probably fight out in the crowd.
Well, they allow that, too, sometimes. Just, you know, tell whoever's in charge, I want to fight in the crowd.
No, I'm going to fight with you in the crowd.
Oh, you're going to fight with me? Come on now, then.
You know, spill your drink, throw your popcorn away, you know. It's all good. It's all good.
I'm fine. I'll have to ask permission if I can use my chair. I'll just have to, you know, if I have to sit on a broken chair the rest of the night.
Good. I'll stop on your ticket, rip up your ticket, and tell security you don't have a ticket, and then throw you out.
No, that ain't going to happen.
I know my boy's over there, you know, my boy over there.
Well, I told you guys that I did my best impersonation right here last Saturday on Sports Talk with the guys. You guys wanted me to share it with you all, so I will do that now. Take a listen to this great impersonation from last week. Are you guys still talking crap from last week to this week? Listen,
I'm sure we are.
Steve Austin, I'm calling you guys out. Roger, don't make me come down there and whip your ass for Matt Alvarez. He's my good personal friend. I'm just here to drink a whole lot of root beer. Do you like root beer? I know I do. Stay tuned for Couch Potato. He's coming up next. If you don't listen to Couch Potato, then that's too bad. Because Couch Potato is the man. And that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold, Matt Alvarez, we say so.
Big dog,
wait,
I think
did
I did.
Did I hear Stone Cold? Is that alive?
Yes! Did you hear Steve Austin or Lee Majors, whoever the guy is? He's on the line.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God, I'm so excited.
That was hilarious.
Steve Austin, thanks for joining us, $6 million man or whatever, whoever you are. Darlene is thrilled that you're on the line. What's going on?
Well, I'm always thrilled to be on the line on any show. I can take over any show. Roger, if you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to come over there and open up a can of whoop-ass on you, and I'm going to take over this show from now on. And that's the bottom line.
A big dog. He's going to show me a can of whoop-ass. Do you know what that is?
No, he's not going to show you a can. He's going to open up a can of whoop-ass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I said. See, why don't you get your hearing aid checked, Roger?
I'm on
Stone
COVID
Cold
lazy.
Is going to come out open. I said open up a can of whoop-ass. That's what Stone Cold said. Now are your ears checked now?
See, and since you got that wrong, he's also not only going to open a can of whoop-ass, but he's going to stomp a mud hole in you and walk it clean.
Walk it dry. Get it straight. What is the matter with you?
Okay, you're going to have to forgive both the big dog and myself because we are highly medicated this morning. Sorry. I'm surprised we survived the 2 hours, huh, big dog?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, porn took up a lot of time.
It did. So, Steve Austin, dude, Bionic Man and all, dude, I got to ask you, what are you doing now in your career since you're going to come over here and open up a can of whoop-ass and take over this program? What are you doing, Steve?
Direct to video?
I'm doing nothing but sitting here, listening to you guys flap your gums about porn when this is a sports show.
Oh.
Porn is a sport. You know, those girls are very flexible. You know, they're like gymnasts. They got to put their knees behind their ears. A lot of flexibility.
Yeah, actually, Mr. Austin, the reason why we're talking about this porn so much and fake girlfriends and everything is because of that Notre Dame football player that has been involved in some crappy case, and he had a fake girlfriend and he talked about her after grandma died, Graham, and we just thought it was a topic that we could go with. Is that okay with you, Mr. Austin?
That's all fine and well if you just get the story straight that it's been reported that he has admitted that now she does exist. Now he's saying she does exist. You believe this stupid son of a bitch is lying? He lied before. Maybe Stone Cold should just walk down the Notre Dame, kick his dorm room in, pull him by the scruff of his neck, and give him a Stone Cold Stunner. What do you think of that?
Big Dog, Darlene, I agree. I think he should go over and open up the can of whoop-ass and do it to him. I agree.
I agree.
Are you trying to get out of your beating too, Roger? Don't piss off Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I won't piss off. I won't do any of that. Trust me. It's okay.
Oh, now you got jokes. You think you're funny with your stupid little voice. Trying to be the best talk show host ever, huh?
No.
That's the plan?
Steve Austin.
But I do forgive you because I know you're on stupid ass medication.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Coffee says he'll piss on Steve Austin. Dude, it's in the chat room.
Mr. Austin, Coffee77 said that.
Coffee, I see what you put in the chat room. Now you're trying to get yourself on Stone Cold's list, huh? You want me to come down to your state of Minnesota, kick your door in, and show you what Stone Cold Steve Austin is all about? Well, then you got it, son. You got
it. And there it is, ladies
coming.
And gentlemen. You definitely.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Eric?
Well, the Rock says.
Yeah, you
The Rock says, Stone Cold, if you want to come down to Miami, come on down. I'll take care of business real quick. Give you a layup, the smackdown on all your ass. Rock bottom you. Hit you with the people's elbow. And finish it 1, 2, 3, and throw and the millions of people will tell you who the Rock is.
Brock, I'm sick of your crap. You're nothing but a stupid son of a bitch. How many times did you beat Steve Austin? Twice. Twice at WrestleMania. Remember those?
Yeah, Stone Cold, you come around here with your boots. I'll tell you one thing. The Rock, and I mean The Rock, has never ever backed down from a challenge from some bald head, wife beaten, jabroni eating. Pie-eating. No man-eating. I am The Rock, and he's going to kick Stone Cold ass all over the world.
Well, Rock, I say this to you. I say this. How about next week, because we're out of time, you come on this show and we'll cut promos and see who the best promo man is. If that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
The Rock says... If you
heading to the top rope, and it's in it! Frog splash! Come on! Get ready to do it! 2! Yeah! And he's incredible! It's champion!
He looked and he thought he'd get John Hancock on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.